Hello, everyone. Welcome back to I See What You're Saying, the Disciplined Listening Podcast. I'm Michael Reddington, and today it is my pleasure to welcome our next guest, Amy Rezac. Amy is the founder of Sales and Presence, and she travels the world partnering with organizations to facilitate power skills in sales training programs. She's the author of the book, So You're in Sales, and brings together a very unique background with her professional expertise and skill set to share all that she knows with the world. And I'm very excited to share this conversation with you today. Amy's going to lead this conversation in many different directions, starting with, how can we walk into a room with power without being perceived as arrogant or a jerk as we do so? We're going to dive into how do we untangle behavioral clues from behavioral miscues. She's going to share words that help us sell. She's going to dive into the four pillars of communication and so much more. I'm really happy to share this conversation with everybody today. Thank you so much once again for being here for another week and another great conversation. We truly appreciate it. Before we dive in, let's thank our sponsors. As always, we have Humantel. If you haven't done so already, please head over to humantel.com. Explore their research, read their blogs, check out all their different training programs, and then begin to develop the skill set necessary to identify when people's emotions are changing in real time by accurately evaluating their changes in facial expressions and nonverbal communication. I've done all of their training. I highly recommend it. When you're there, enter the code INCLUSIVE25 for 25% off of the training program of your choice. For the professional interviewers, please head over to certifiedinterviewer.com. That's where you'll learn everything you need to know about the International Association of Interviewers. Who qualifies for membership? What are the ways members can participate in the organization? What are the in-person and virtual education opportunities? What interview resources are available? Networking opportunities? So much more. That is also where you will learn about the Certified Forensic Interviewer designation. Who qualifies? What's the process of preparing? How do you pass the exam? Once you do, what does the designation mean for you and your career? All of that and more at certifiedinterviewer.com. And while you're online, please check out inquasive.com. That's where you can learn more about the programs our clients ask us to customize for their leadership teams, their sales teams, their HR teams, and more to teach them how to apply the strategic observation and persuasive communication skills necessary to obtain the everyday confessions that unlock relationships and new alternatives in all of their high impact conversations. Once again, we really appreciate you being here for another week. Thank you so much for continuing to come back. And now, without further ado, I introduce to you Amy Rezac. Amy, it is so great to see you. Thank you very much for being here today. I really appreciate it. How are you?
I'm great, Michael. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic.
Good.
And I'm really excited to dive into your expertise. I think what we do overlaps just a little bit, but when we talked before, I was really interested in kind of your take and how you focus on things. And you touch on so many different things with your work that I'm really excited to see how much we can explore in 1 hour together.
Yeah.
But you said something to me that really kind of perked my ears up the first time we talked, and I would love to start the conversation here. So please feel free to take this anywhere you want to go. But earlier when you and I spoke, you talked about walking into the room with power. And I feel like that could mean different things to different people. But I would love for you to please walk us through what does it mean to you and how can we walk into rooms with power?
It's such a large statement. And to your point, you can go so many different directions with it, depending on what's happening in your environment, what's happening with you personally when you're going into a meeting, let's say. But it really is owning you and owning your center. What I call it is your center, who you are at the core, how you want to present yourself in your day to day. And it's really the personal brand that you are showing. We forget the fact that we are constantly communicating, whether we're saying anything or not, and we're communicating loudly. So we want to make sure that we're walking into that room with power, how we want to be seen the best we can, versus not being aware of it and still communicating something that we may not want to be communicating or not even recognize that we're communicating it. So Within a business environment, there's lots of ways to do this. And the first part of that is to own who you are and your power, but also recognize that you, no matter your title, can be a leader. If we think about people anywhere, I was thinking recently about the checkout lady at my local grocery store a couple blocks from here. And I tend to always go to her versus some of the other ones that are checking out during the day, because she has just this great presence about her. You know, she's really talkative. She asks you how you are. She remembers people. She loves her job. She leans into her power. That's showing up with power, and it attracts people, right? So it doesn't matter what your title is. You can be a leader no matter what you're doing or where you're at. And I think that's the core of it. Now, there's lots of different ways to go about that. And I will say this is a learned practice behavior. No one is born with executive presence or professional presence. No one is born just having that quote unquote it factor that we hear about all the time. It is practiced and it's learned, just like verbal communication, you know? And so really thinking about who am I? How do I want to present that? What is my power? What's my knowledge strength? What do I bring to the table that's part of who I am naturally? So for me, I would say I'm a bit quirky. I will always talk about things like animals and coffee and randomness. So I bring that forward. It's who I am. And it's part of my power and owning that. I don't pull that back, right? We want to make those things shine. In a work environment, what's your superpower? What comes super easy to you? What do you like to do? Elevate those things in a room. If you are in a meeting, make sure that those things shine a little bit. That's owning your power and walking in with power. Now, if we're actually physically walking into a room, I would say then let's talk about our nonverbal. And this is a hot trend right now. I get that. But it works, right? It's something that we are constantly communicating. And we, again, aren't taught that. We are taught how to speak, possibly not well. We're taught to be quiet, but not to listen, right? So those are things that we can work on, but we're also not taught, how do you physically show up and how are you communicating through that? So I know a lot of people have heard out there, if you're following the trends on nonverbal, is your posture needs to be up and open. It does, right? Posture invites communication in, or it shuts it down. If we are have some anxiety or nervousness going on, we naturally fold into ourselves to protect a little bit, right? So making sure that we're super aware of that. Where are our nerves right now? Can we keep them in check a little bit with how we're communicating with our body? Walking in with that, you know, posture that's high and open, but also your hands out and visible is a really great trust factor to build. And then that actually helps you too. All of that helps you with your own confidence, which is a huge bonus on top of it. So yeah, big animal to tackle in the first question, but hopefully that was some of it. Yeah.
That was a lot of it. And honestly, I love trying to go, I'm going to make the question I asked you all about me for a second. How professional is that? But I love to go with the big animal right out of the gate, because we can take it anywhere we want and it just kicks the conversation open. So I appreciate you going in multiple directions at the same time. When I heard you say, find our center, it made me flash back. And I love how you said it like that. Like a month or so ago, I was speaking at an event, and this is a me problem, by the way, so I want to preface this. And the other speaker had said something earlier in the day that just got under my skin. And that's a me problem. I shouldn't have let it happen. But the competitive side of me took over. And now I'm thinking about what that person said and my time on stage. Like, I can feel like my fist clenching and like where I'm going with this. And I had to do exactly what you just said. Like, I had to find my center and just literally tell myself, just slow down and let it go. Because if I let that influence what I'm about to do, I might feel like I won, but that's not how I want people to see me. So that was a lucky catch on my part, but it ties in very well, I think, to what you just said. And I love how you tied in the concept of presence, nonverbals, all of that together as we go in. And it is like, it's true. Scientifically, we can help our confidence based on how we stand and how we move and all of those things. And even if we're not feeling, I don't believe in fake it till you make it. But even if we stand in the right posture, it helps people open up with their conversation. So let's dive down that road just for a moment. I know you just mentioned it, but a lot of work that you do does involve the arena of presence. So we'll talk about our presence, how we want other people to see us, how we want other people to experience us. I know it can differ context to context, situation, person. Are there rules that you follow or that you prescribe to? Maybe rules is a strong word. Are there guidelines that you believe in that do a good job helping us create or exhibit the right presence in the right situation?
Yeah. So I'm going to answer that. I'm going to jump back. I wrote this down, the fake it till you make it. I agree. That's a bit outdated. I do love though, practice it till you become it. So thinking around, we're not born with any of this. No one has this magic, sense of how to be powerful in a room or how to attract conversation. It's a learned behavior and we're constantly learning from our environment. So we're learning either negative or positive, or we're taking the negative and saying, okay, maybe this isn't perfect for me, but how can I mold this into something that can be me and authentic to me? Or if we're loving something about someone, how can I make that into my own? We're constantly doing that. The awareness around it is huge. So if we're thinking around these guidelines, the first thing I would say is we have to have awareness around our environment and around us. Watching what we're doing. So I would say if you're brand new to this and you're like, okay, I just need to have good posture and walk into a room, that's not quite it. Kudos for trying and practicing that and keep doing it. But let's back it up a little bit and start with awareness of how you are centering or not centering in your environments. And take that for a month or so. Don't react to it. Don't do anything different. The awareness just has to be there. All right, how did I feel about that? Where was I? Did I shut down in a meeting because I was a bit nervous to say anything or look in someone's direction? Why is that? Let's look into those things a little bit. If I'm in a certain environment where I feel really strong and powerful, why is that? What is that energy that's creating on the outside and inside going out that's helping with that? So number one for guidelines, I would say definitely awareness. Once we have the awareness around that, because let's talk stats for just a second, only 10 to 15% of people are actually self-aware. About 95%, the stat shows, think that they are, but truly, only about 10 to 15%. I mean, if you go to anywhere that has a group of people, a grocery store, an airport, it is very quickly noticeable that no one is self-aware, right? So take that and say, okay, well, maybe I'm going on a trip. Now I'm going to be self-aware and I'm going to watch the space and see what's actually happening instead of being so caught up in my work. So awareness is number one. Number two, I would say, to center yourself, especially when we get a bit nervous or, have something big going on or we're practicing something new that gets us uncomfortable, take about 5 minutes and write down 3 to 5 things that you love about you. 3 to 5 things that have nothing to do with what you're going to do. So if you are going to go into a meeting or you have a presentation, it has nothing to do with that. Now it will tie in because that's, but really center on what makes me me. What do I absolutely love about me? We don't do that enough, number one. Number two, it will show you the things that are your superpowers, and it will remind you of your worth. So we're taking it out of this anxiety element and back into who I actually am, right? So we have success in business. That's great. That is not who I am. I own and run a company and I love what I do. It's not who I am. Now, parts of who I am go into that and that's shown. And that's part of that presence that comes out and how we're walking with power. But truly, at the core, if that was to go all the way away, I would still have all of this right here. Like none of that's going to get lost. So remind yourself, what is that? What are those things you're really proud of and things that make you, you? A couple things happen there. You're back to your center. Two, your anxiety and your nervousness goes down a bit because now you're like, oh yeah, I got this. This is who I am, right? You're reminding yourself of that. So those are the two guidelines I would start with. And then I would think about, while you're practicing this, what is the inspiration or what is the nugget or the thing that I want to leave with people? We're so internal that we forget that all these other people are taking us into, just like we're taking others in. So how do you want to lead them? How do you want to inspire them? How do you want that energy to go? I just got off of a session last week talking around professional presence and where to start with this. And we looked at some brands, coffee, because I'm a coffee girl, of what these brands do. It's very similar to an individual brand. We all are walking around with an individual brand, whether we're practicing or it, refining it or not. So sometimes it shows up really not great because we don't even have awareness around it. And other times you can tell that's that quote unquote it factor that people are actually practicing that consistently. If you take Starbucks and Dunkin' Donuts, right? If you take Starbucks and their brand, at the center, their brand is, come on in, settle in, bring your laptop, bring your friends, stay a while, have a cup or two, and just enjoy the environment, right? That's a settle in brand. They're very cozy and here are all the things and join us, right? That's the center of their brand. Center of Dunks is get your coffee and get out. We don't want you, right? So it's like, but their brand is we hustle with you. Their brand is we know you're going, so we're going to go with you. What do you need? What do you want? Here it is. Let's go. Then they're very East Coast that way. Right.
I was going to say, as a New Englander, be careful how you talk about Dunkin' Donuts.
Well, I will tell you, I'm a huge fan of Dunks. I'm a huge fan of Dunks. But that's their center brand, right? If you think about that. And then everything that they do is around that center. So it's the exact same thing that we're doing individually. We have to have that center of like our success, our why, who we are, and that take that power and then say, okay, how do I want to present that to the world? How do I want to do that? And that's where the fun begins of really practicing, how do I show up? How do I attract that conversation and that attention? Am I doing that well? Am I doing that in a negative light or a positive light? What is the energy that I'm showing when I do that? So I think those are the steps. It's a long game, right? This is everyone will be doing this for life. If you're starting to practice this is not something that you get and it's done. There are definitely days where I'm like, oof, man, I don't want to show up today. I really don't want to show up today. And so you find it, right? If you have to go to that meeting or you have to do that presentation, think about the mindset shift of what that does, right? So if I'm thinking around, I have to do this presentation for this team, actually I get to. Right. So it's a lot. It's a lot on the plate. Maybe you don't have the energy to do it. You have life stuff, family stuff, whatever that is. But what is the result there? Who is in the room that you get to see? Who is in the room you get to talk to? Thinking about reframing that a bit. So then your energy shifts differently as best it can. I know there's life things going into that room.
I love that. And again, to interject my bias, because why not just for a second, it's when we get in front of a room, whether that is with your own organization, whether it's you going out on the road and work with another organization, whatever it is, it's our responsibility to give them more than what they came for. Like that's our responsibility. And that's true if you're a leader within an organization. It's true if you're a roadshow. I'll say the majority of you, like you and I are a lot, you know, we're out working with different organizations. And I think that ties back into your thought of what are you going to leave people with? Mm-hmm. So yeah, maybe today is a low energy today. It was a long flight. I didn't sleep well in the hotel, or I don't want to be here, or this is a meeting in my company that somebody else should be leading. How come I have to do it? We've done this the last 3 months. I have to do this again. But what am I leaving them with? That's our responsibility there. And I love that quote, practice it until you become it. I think that's an amazing quote. I also love, I forgot to tell you this, that quote of we were taught how to be quiet, but not how to listen. Those are two killer quotes, almost back to back right there. But getting back to practicing it, you clearly have.
Yeah.
Now this is what you do. So of course, practicing it is part of what you do, but just reflecting on kind of your journey through this, I don't want to ask you how long have you been practicing, because I'm sure it goes back informally to before this became your career focus, so on and so forth. But I think maybe a better question to ask is, what are some of the jumps or the improvements and how mm-hmm. you've seen people respond to you based on the practice that you've put into this.
Yeah. Oh boy. Let me think about that one for a minute. Because they haven't, it hasn't come through in big moments. It comes through in very small shifts and small moments. I will go back to not when I started this, but the awareness of this. So I was a theater kid, grew up in music and theater, was on stage from third grade through college, vocally trained, all the things. Hyper aware on stage of movement, definitely being in theater and musicals, and how to present yourself. And then we got to college. It was an elite college for choir. So then that took on a whole different space of how to stand, not just how to sing, how to stand and not move during a production. All of those things said, I had no idea that that was at the center of what I do now. And there's so many great people in this space that come from the arts, which I think is really magical and telling. And it's a lifelong learned behavior skill, right? But I didn't recognize that that's what I was taking into business when I started my career in sales years and years and years ago. And I did not honestly realize that I was taking that into practice when I opened my own company 6 years ago as well. I do have a psychology degree and I love analyzing why humans do what they do. So this comes, I wouldn't say naturally to me, but maybe a little bit easier to me than some. Mm-hmm. I still have to practice it. But the awareness really started around jumping back into educating myself. I was missing a core piece within my career success. I didn't quite know what that was. So all I did was create a company around the things I love to analyze and do and learn. And then that's when it was really like, there's this awareness, right? We're starting with awareness. Here's this awareness around what I was doing just innately because of my history, but I wasn't aware of it, right? We're all walking around. If you're going to the grocery store, check yourself the next time. How aware of you are you of your environment and what you're actually doing? And most of us are not. I was not. When I was like, oh, I'm here, right? Like I get it. I'm good at sales. Well, no, actually I was taking all those things and utilizing them without even having the awareness. So that was, I think, my biggest jump was eye-opening of that. Secondly, when I was diving into all of the courses and the education around nonverbal, when I was very assuming that I had it handled. And as soon as I dove into that, it was very telling that I have a lot to learn. So that was, I think, was my second jump of, oh, actually, there is a lot here. And because I came from where everyone else is coming from of all of the marketing around nonverbal or all the, you know, you gesture this way, or if your arms are crossed, that means you're not inviting. Not accurate, by the way. So it's just all these different cues that are miscued in marketing and kind of the social media environment. Some are good. I wouldn't say all are bad, but we have to take everything in context. And so from that, I was like, oh yeah, I got this. Well, no. So I think those are my two biggest jumps. And then from there, really putting this out into the universe of let's see if this flies, right? I want to talk about this a little bit more because I'm really passionate about how we connect and communicate to influence in every aspect of our lives. We're either doing it or we're misguiding it. We're still doing it, but we're not doing it well. So how can we shift to that narrative, especially in business, since I work with companies and corporate? How do we do that on a day to day to upskill in a kind of a 1% or a micro moment that we can have? And so really, I think that those jumps were small in that I was getting consistent feedback immediately of wow, this is completely eye-opening. Never even thought about this in a sales realm. Never, like, why do we not have more training on nonverbal with a sales team? Right? Like all these things that we can use that we just haven't adapted fully to a business environment within communication, because we're still, especially in the sales world, we tend to take a while to catch up. So, you know, we talk a lot about our verbal skills on things, which matters, by the way. However, it's not the full picture. So I think those are the micro jumps that I had, but those two major ones were kind of in the middle beginning of this journey.
Thank you for diving into all of that. Thank mm-hmm. you for also pointing out the BS myths. And I love the word you use, miscues around nonverbal mm-hmm. behavior. Just this morning, I had to pause in the middle of a session and talk about the whole arms cross thing that you just brought up. Mm-hmm. So thank you for mm-hmm. reinforcing that. thanks for that. And your reference to your past as a performer makes entire sense. Like, as I'm sitting here, and I know some people might be watching and some people might be listening, but as we're having this conversation and you mentioned you had a career on stage and performance, that makes sense. Like, it all falls into line.
Yeah.
So illustrates is so many of us along the way are building a powerful skill set that we can use in multiple contexts. And if we don't silo, well, I used to do that when I was in theater and I used to do that when I sang, but now I do this when I'm in business. No, actually, you put that on a Venn diagram, you got some overlapping circles and you can pretty mm-hmm. much use the same skills in all of that. So mm-hmm. thank you for walking us through that. And as I was listening to that, I would come up with a follow-up question and then be like, oh no, now it's this one. No, now it's this one. No, now it's this one. So see if I can wrap a couple of them together.
Okay.
You talked about how you love to speak on helping people connect to influence. And I feel like that probably ties a little bit into the nonverbal, but also mm-hmm. into the verbal that you mentioned as well, our word choice and mm-hmm. how we communicate. And you mentioned sales multiple times. So let's see if we can work this into one question. How can we use all of our communication tools to better connect and influence people starting in a sales environment?
Yes. So I would say, thinking about it in a different context. If we're thinking in sales, we are constantly talking or thinking about I, right? And that's common. It's natural. It's a human behavior. I would hope you are, because you're wanting to sell something and, you know, have success financially and all the things. That's why you're in sales. The hardest shift of that is that it's not about you. So when you are talking to people or when you are communicating with them, however you're communicating, it is not about you. It is about serving them and figuring out the solutions best for them. And then your success is going to come because their success is coming, right? So it's definitely this mindset shift on how we're communicating. So I would say number one, curiosity is key. I can't tell you how many times at the top of a page before a meeting, no matter how long they've been a client, I will write, what can I learn? Yes.
Can I stop you there just for 1 second? Mm-hmm. I swear to God, I do the same thing. I bring a notepad in and at the top, I write, what did I learn today on top of it? Mm-hmm. So every time I look down. So sorry to steal mm-hmm. your thunder, but you're the
first
person I've ever met that does the same thing. I think it's like that constant mental reminder. So we'll now return the listeners to their previously scheduled program. I apologize for interrupting, but that was awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I would say for all the listeners, take that to heart. Right. If you're saying, oh, yeah, well, you know, I'm there to learn always. And I got that. It's good. No, you don't. I will push back on you on that. No, you don't. Because you will constantly be in self-absorbed motion because you are in a sales communication mode. So really reminding yourself, I have to do this all the time, too. So writing it down helps you to get you out of that and back into present with the client or with that person that you're speaking with. And the concern about what's going on with them instead of you pitching a solution or something that doesn't matter to them because of your own gain and your own goals. So definitely that, you know, what can I learn today? Stay curious is another one that you could write down if that jives with you too. You know, what are you curious about? What can you learn? And really focus on them. I call it you framing all the time. So we're constantly you framing. You know, of how can we serve you? If I'm talking to you and you are the person I'm hoping to get a deal with, I don't come in and say, so my name's Amy and here's our company and this is our products and our solutions and what we can provide you. I looked on your website and noticed that you have X, Y, Z. So this would fit perfect on that. I can't tell you how many salespeople do that. I get it. I used to be one of them because that's how we're taught. So let's take all of that way back and think of it as a communication to connect and influence as a human, not as a business. I'm going to throw that all out the door and say, you know what, Michael, I'm so glad that you're here for 30 minutes with me today. The goal is to really learn about what's happening in your world and what your goals are for 25 and see how we can possibly have some synergy there or work together for the solutions that you're looking for. Completely different conversation. The thing is, though, is that it's the exact same quote-unquote pitch. It's done verbally different, right? So I'm still gathering information and needing to get all of those things. And I'm still here pitching a solution, technically, but I'm not in my world anymore. I'm in yours. So I would say that's a big, big thing, is really to have this new framing. I will tell you, it's difficult. If you are in the habit of kind of that old school, non-modern selling role, this is something that's going to be a mountain. But I will tell you that it's definitely a mountain to climb, because you're going to have huge success and support with these clients. And then you're also going to have relationships that you never thought you could have, right? You're going to really build and create success together, which is phenomenal and exciting. And it shifts kind of the energy around business and how you do things and get things done. It's a positive. It's not just pushing product or service. The second thing is that we need to look at all pillars of communication. So when we're thinking about communicating, we're constantly thinking about verbal. Okay, what's the agenda? What's my plan? I've written it out, right? I have all the things. Maybe I have a PowerPoint or something I'm going to present. So all of that is prepped. Easy. We do that all the time. There are four pillars of communication: thinking, listening, speaking, and nonverbal. So if we've prepped all that, we have speaking. That's one. We still have three we got to do. So the other thing is to think of it differently when you are going into a conversation, that you have to have all four. So I visually, when I'm going into a meeting, okay, what's my thinking, listening, speaking, nonverbal? Am I in check with all of those? Your thinking is really your preparation on things. It's also going back to that staying curious. What can you learn? Shifting that thinking mindset into being curious into them and not centering it on I. Listening, again, long term. Here, some of us do great some days, some of us epically fail, myself included, some days. And so listening is one of those things where we really have to practice to listen to hear and not to respond. Let me say that again for people. We need to hear or listen to hear, not to respond. Simon Sinek has a great kind of conversation around listening. And he's like, the only success that you have in listening, or knowing that you're successful in listening, is if that person shows you that they have felt hurt. I love that. It centers me in, okay, are they showing me that they feel heard? Are they leaning in physically or non-physically, but are they really in that conversation? That means that they're feeling heard and I'm not just listening to respond. One thing I'll say there is that we as salespeople love to ask questions to respond and not to listen or to hear. So if you are one of those people, check yourself on that. A lot of times we will ask questions that we already know the answer to or that we can find. So this, to me, these are situational questions. So kind of yes, no fact questions that we're settling into. So this is a nervous thing that we do usually most of the time, right? We're settling in. So to me, it's equivalent of a networking event running to the bar. So at a networking event, when we're a little uncomfortable and we have some anxiety, like, oh my God, I need a drink.
You've seen me, is what you're saying.
I've seen me. I used to do that. I'm like, okay, I'm here. I just need to get the drink and then settle in. And then, ooh, deep breath. Let's exhale and do this, right? That's the same concept of what's happening when we're asking questions to respond. So note yourself, check yourself on that. If that's what you're doing, don't ask those questions. Now, if you're like, gosh, but Aim, I don't know how to get kind of from my anxious kind of self over to like settled in, reframe it. So instead of asking a question, state the obvious. So if I were to know that you've been in business for 5 years, I'm not going to ask, so how long have you been in business? Because I know that LinkedIn has, right? So what I'm showing subconsciously there is I'm telling you that I haven't done my homework, right? When I ask that question, we want to roll that back and do it as a statement. So you now are aware that I have done my thinking. I've done my due diligence coming into this meeting. It looks like you have been at this company for 5 years. Tell me how that's gone. Tell me about how that journey's been. That is still a settle-in question, but it's an actual question to hear, not to respond, because you don't know that answer. Right. So I would say that's really one of those listening tactics. Also, tell me more is a brilliant one. I love that one. I can't ever get enough of it. I use it a lot in my own. So if we are working on our listening, can we move that out? So if somebody responds to us, instead of solutioning or responding right away, tell me more about that. Oh, that's fascinating. So you have been in this for 5 years, and this is the trajectory that you've been on. Tell me more about that and what you're looking for in 25. Give them space to expand. Sit in their world longer. That will help you to practice your listening as well. Now, I did have somebody about a year ago say, you know, tell me more sounds like I'm in a shrink's office, which I loved. So I was like, well, I have a psych degree, so that's fitting. So make it yours. You know, if tell me more is too weird for you, make it yours. You always want to be authentic. So maybe can you expand on that for me, right? Make it yours, whatever that is for you. And that moves you into the speaking and how to do that and you framing a little bit more. And then, of course, your nonverbal comes into play as well. So making sure that your posture's there, your eye contact's there, those type of things. You're leaning into a conversation. Those things are telling. Yeah.
Once again, so much. Thank you. I'm trying to go back and like reinforce the highlights, and I'd have to repeat everything mm-hmm. you just said.
Yeah.
But I appreciate all that. I love the call out about not walking in and basically saying, so I looked at your website and this is what I found. Like, would you stand outside somebody's house and call them and say, right. I'm looking through your window and this is what you're wearing? Like, no, you wouldn't right. do that. You're a stalker. But when you walk into an office and you say, hey, so I looked at your website and this is what you're doing, you feel like a stalker. Like, mm-hmm. creepy, but you still feel like a stalker. Yeah. So, you know, graduate beyond that. I think that was a great point. And you're right. You know, under stress, we all go to what we know. And I really mm-hmm. don't care what most people say. If we're in a negotiation or sales scenario, there's stress involved with that to some degree.
Yep.
So it's natural to fall back on what we know, get out of eye, get towards you. I love all of that. So many great points there. Now, as you were going through that, you mentioned several times getting ready for 25. So for the people mm-hmm. who might be listening to this at some point, sometime down the road, we're having this conversation towards the very end of 2024, leading into 25. Mm-hmm. So the question I'm going to ask you is going to be really around that transition. But theoretically, mm-hmm. this could be around any transition, quarter to quarter, year to year, month to month, mm-hmm. job to job, project to project, could be about any. But to just stick with the timeliness of this question, as people, particularly we've been talking about sales, what could be business planning, it could be any, as professionals are starting to plan for the transition from 24 to 25, from your perspective, especially with the psychology degree that you've mentioned a few times and all the expertise mm-hmm. of working with different clients, what are some advantageous ways to plan for the transition? And kind of like what you talked about, the nonverbals before, what are some mm-hmm. of the misnomers that people think are helpful, but probably won't get you there?
Yeah. So first of all, don't bite off more than you can chew, right? So make it something that's actually tangible that you will do. That is easier said than done, because I think it, especially at the end of the year and a quarter, then we have these lofty goals of, oh, well, I didn't do this again this year, so I'm definitely going to do it next year. You know, if we think of people who have New Year's resolutions, there's a reason why I think that stat is 7 or 9% of all people who have a New Year's resolution actually stick to it. So there's a reason, right? It's because it's too lofty, too much. We as humans get overwhelmed really easy. So taking a huge step back on that. Also, I would say, the first thing is to give yourself a lot of grace for the year you're in or the quarter that you're in and start reflecting. So if there's anything I would say to do within a quarter, a month, a year, whatever that planning is for you right now, is to put in a reflecting moment. Put in a reflecting moment. We are moving too fast in today's world that we miss all of the great things that are actually happening. When I'm working with teams, another way that we do this is take a month, and at the end of each week on a Friday, we are going to write down on sticky notes great things that happened that week. Whether it is I got 15 minutes with a cup of coffee in silence. Week, that was amazing. That was a win, right? That was success. Or I had a great open. I practiced how I showed up and walked into a room and I got great feedback and I felt really powerful. That's a huge win. We're going to start sticking that on sticky notes. And then by the end of a month, you are going to have an entire wall with success, right? It's these micro shifts and micro moments that we have that create our success. Most of the time we think of a big lofty goal, whether that's financial or something else that you're going to do. And you're like, this is how I'm going to succeed. No, it's not. That's the end result, but that's not how you're going to succeed. So if you want that lofty goal, put it out there. I know if you're in sales or business, you have that number as well. That's completely fine. We all do, right? Put it out there, stick it out there, but then you're done with it. Now, what you're going to do is plan all of those moments and those weeks and those months that are going to get you there. So what is the shift and what are those things you need to get uncomfortable with to grow you to then hit that goal? If we're only focused on the goal and not what we're doing to get there, you will not get there. So to have it, take it there, we need it as kind of this stretch thing that we see, but then take it off the plate and say, all right, so that's there. So what am I going to do to move to that? So one would be that reflection. That's a must. Really taking the time to do that. If you want to get granular and you're working on your communication skills, so whether that's your nonverbal or your verbal, take five after every single meeting. You owe it to yourself to invest in you of how you're communicating. Take five after every single meeting. What did you do well? How did you show up? Where did you go back to everything you've done for the last 10 years that you can still improve on? How did you default because you got a little uncomfortable? Why did you get uncomfortable in that room versus another room where you feel really powerful, right? Reflect on those things, but take time after every meeting. I guarantee you after one quarter, you are going to come a long way if you do that, because that awareness is there and it's in check. And now all of a sudden, it's a habit. So the thing we have to do is have that consistency, which is tough. Especially if we've been in something for a while, we're in our complacent mode of consistency, not our new challenge mode of consistency. So what we want to do is get out of that. So really having that practice of recognition and awareness is going to help you get there.
I love how the theme of awareness continues to come up and continues to come up. And it's so true and it's so important, whether we're complacent. I love how you said that. So we don't stop to think about it because whether we're in a positive rut, it just works. Why should I change it? Or it works well enough for me. Why should I work harder to get better results? Or like you said before, just a total lack of awareness to begin with. People have never been taught to think that way. Mm-hmm. But it's the, I like how, I don't think you said it directly, but I feel like the dots add up. Awareness creates the habits. If we develop the awareness, we can change the behaviors and behaviors become habits and the new habits create the new results. So I love how those threads come together with that. Mm. One of the things that I was thinking about when I was listening to you talk about, and again, I love this, plan the moments. So, okay, I got the goal, but instead of saying I'm going to reach this goal by this date, plan the moments that will get me there. I love that process. I feel like some of that, to go back to sales, applies as well when we're trying to land maybe new clients or bigger clients, where sometimes we might get to like the proposal, so to speak, to just like be as broad as possible with this example. I give somebody the proposal and then it's like, I'm looking at my watch every day. And then all I've got is the, I'm following up, I'm circling back, you had the time. And those, I don't want to say never work, but do they really ever work? And with your experience, and especially kind of getting back into the psychology piece of it too, if we're looking to maintain a customer cadence, knowing that every situation is different, but if we're looking to maintain a customer cadence, and especially if we're looking to try to re-engage a customer that has, do the kids still say ghosted us? I don't know if that's still a phrase or not. They've gone missing in action. What's typically your process for solving those riddles?
So first, we need to adjust how we're doing that in the beginning. So when we're talking to them, we need to adjust our communication so that we are in control of every step. That's where we misstep. So if we're like, oh, great, so we'll have a proposal to you. I'll send that out over email, look it over, and then I'll follow up in a few days or a week or so, and we can go from there. That is not control of the steps or of the success that you're looking for. That is that is putting the process back on the potential client, they are not focusing on that. So the thing that I always think about is the clients are my world. I am not their world. So I need to make sure that I am continually showing them that they are my world and that I am credible. This brings credibility up, by the way, doing this, and that I am going to show them the path as a leader. Again, we're going to go right back to our beginning conversation. Anyone can be a leader, doesn't have to be title. So I am the leader of this conversation. And the thing I'm going to do is really work hard so that you don't have to work a whole lot in this. That's my goal, right? So in that, in our conversations of, okay, so we've agreed upon the proposal. I am going to put that together. I'll send it to you by end of day today. Look it over. How does Thursday by end of day look for you to get back to me on that? Yes, it's great. Great. We have a verbal contract on that now. So let's do that. If I don't hear from you by end of day on Thursday, I will call you on Friday morning. See if there's anything additional that you need to make sure that we can. That is controlling the narrative, right? So we are moving the process forward. That's the goal. I always tell my clients, use time. Time is your best friend in this, right? So it's not on you. It's like, I need this by this date, or, you know, I can do this by this time. Can you, you know, it's not all of that. It's just time. You know, how does that feel for you? Does Thursday by end of day work for you? Great. Awesome. Let's do that. Right. So you're moving that through as a credible vendor or person to work with. And then that credibility goes up, the trust goes up, the relationship builds, all the things. There's so much more to human connection that we miss when we are in a corporate setting. We think, okay, I'm a great relationship builder. Well, are you really? You know, how many times have you gone to happy hour and then they ghost you? You're not a good relationship builder. You're a good free drinks person. So we need to analyze that a bit and say, okay, how can I actually grow that trust and that relationship? So that's one. Now, ghosting happens even with the best bit, right? Because nothing works 100% of the time. So if you do have someone who's gone a bit MIA or has ghosted you, then I always say, go back to the beginning. Go back to the beginning. Remind them. So we're not going to push. We're not going to say, following up for the fifth time on this proposal that I had sent you a month ago. We're going to say, hey, Michael, hope all is going well. By the way, that does work. I know that sounds annoying and doesn't work, but it does. Statistics show that, you know, hope all is well or hope you're doing well does work for response. So putting that in there and then saying to remind you of what we've talked about so far. And then I'm going to bullet point it because people don't like to read. They like to skim. Again, I'm their world. They're not mine. So showing it as easy as I can. Here's what you've been interested in. I've attached the proposal again for your review and then try to re-engage with time. So, you know, looking to see if Tuesday by end of day is a good time frame for you to review this and then go on from there. So we're working backwards, but we have to continually remind and educate and support of here's what we've talked about. Because again, they have, you are this big, you are tiny on their plate of things to do. So they're not going to, that is not their job to remember it. It is your job to be seen and your job to communicate those things over and over and over again. I was thinking about you saying, you know, this, you know, traveling and stuff and maybe not being really excited about it and you're tired, you didn't sleep well and trying to, you know, like, how am I going to present myself? How do I want to show up for people? And reminding yourself of that. The other thing I was thinking when you said that and it came back to this conversation was we get in because we do stuff the same thing day after day after day, we assume a whole lot. So we assume that our audience already knows what we're talking about because we've done this for the 12th time this month. Well, they haven't seen it. So they don't know that, right? Reminding yourself that these people are not around what you are around 24/7. So even if it is a client that is in your industry, that does not mean that they know everything that they should know. It is your job to make sure that you are clearly communicating and supporting those things over and over and over again. So assumption, take it out. We like to assume. Don't assume. Work on not assuming those things. And that will help. So I will say really having that credibility with structure and how you are communicating throughout every single step to move the agenda forward. That will help you. And then when you need to re-engage, re-engage with the information that you've already gone.
All great. And the last point, actually both of those last points, the process all the way through, I found it's been helpful to communicate with people from the very beginning under the assumption that they're eventually going to ghost me. So that way I'm prepared when it happens. And if it doesn't, awesome. I didn't need it. But if it does, I'm not going, well, shit, now what do I do? Like, I've had a plan for that in place. And then to your point, go back to what you've already learned. And I feel like it's challenging for people who were very routine, step one, step two, step three, step four, going through the, especially in sales and the process, to understand that we can actually shortcut the ghosting process in the discovery process.
Yeah.
If we do a great job figuring out what outcomes does this create, what, how's it fit into their priorities, their budget, their schedule, what has to be done first, what's going to get done next. Now, getting back to your time example, we can even use their time in our follow-up to try to push that through. And the point that you made, I love it there, that they're our world, we're not theirs. So are they really ghosting us, or do they have 27 other priorities that outweigh us right now? So taking it personal isn't going to help anything. Just understanding is part of the process, and then having the plan to work through it. So I appreciate you sharing all of that. Now, I would like to ask one more. I think we're probably running short on time here, but I'd like to ask at least one more question. With your psychology background and with your neuroscience background that I know plays into a lot of what you do, how much of your specific word choice or specific cadence when you are interacting with people is driven by, you've quoted a couple statistics already, neuroscience, and how can we capitalize on that?
I would say probably all of it is. I'm hyper aware of that. When I'm talking to someone, if I'm on stage or if we're just talking, you know, individually, networking, went, whatever that is, email is a great way to start. So if anyone is like, oh, this is interesting, how would I even go about that? Start in email. It's a really great way to recognize the word choices that you have and then figure out how to shift that a bit to make it more impactful. We all have diminisher words. Mine is just the filler diminisher word. I still write it in emails today. So the practice there is that you're not going to completely uplift this and you're going to be perfect. It's a moving target all the time. Again, one of those things that you're going to be present for your entire life. So I write out emails the way I naturally think about them first. And then I always go back and adjust the wording accordingly. Just as always in my emails today. I've worked on that for 15 years and I will tell you it's not going to leave. It's just one of those things that I now notice and I move it out of the way. If you can have a sentence without those filler words or those diminished words, then do that. Look for those, take it out. So just as one, a big one is sorry. So sorry we didn't get back to you in time on this. Sorry that this was not finished for you at this time. Take it out. Take it out. It does not mean we're not taking responsibility. Let me just say that. We're not, we are still fully taking responsibility, but we are not lowering ourselves when we are communicating. We are matching and meeting them. So we're not raising above. We're matching and meeting and appreciating that this is something that they are communicating. So instead of sorry, thank you. Thank you so much for bringing that to my attention. Here's what we're going to do about this. Here's how we're going to solve this. Couple things happen there on this neuroscience level. People like to be helpful and people want to be shown that they're valued for that help. So instead of, oh, I'm so sorry, so we'll get to that. And this is, that is not helping them at all, right? We've all had that experience where we'll call into a customer service. We're like, well, we never got the shipment or something didn't happen. Oh, I'm so sorry for them. Like, I don't care if you're sorry. I just want it fixed, right? So really, thank you so much. Here's what we're going to do. Does this sound good to you? Is this a good movement forward for us? Right? Now that's value and that's credibility because now they're part of that journey. They're a part of solving that with you of like, oh gosh, thank you for including me in that and getting this done and resolved and solved. Now I know that we're a true partner and that I can come to you for stuff. Right? Instead of the worst thing that we can do, especially in a business environment, is have a client who does not come to us about issues and then they're not going to be a client very long. So that's a big one. Practice that. We still take ownership in things. We're just thanking instead of sorry. So those diminisher words are big because they don't lead to credibility and power when we're talking about coming into our own power and really creating that space in that room. The other thing, though, is that we have words that sell. So there are words out there that sell quite well. And those are things that bring the person on the journey with us. So similar to thank you, it helps bring the journey to them so they're part of it. And that is explaining. I will say the big one would be explaining. So if we're talking about something, well, you know, we can do this because XYZ, because is a selling word. So those are just really fascinating, interesting words to me. But the reason behind it is because we're telling them the why. How many times have you had a kiddo, a five-year-old that's why? Well, because that's the way it is. But why? Well, just because I said so. But why? We as humans still do that. We are just not quite as obnoxious as a five-year-old.
Right? Not all of us.
Not all of us. Maybe some. So that's what we want to do is we want to create that why. We're going to give that to them. So again, they don't have to work. We're showing them that roadmap. We're giving them that visual of like, here's the process. Here's where we're going together. Imagine, that's another word that really sells. Imagine if we could build this together so that you can have this and then the success that you're looking for in Q4, right? Imagine that. Let's take you on that journey. So those words really do matter when we're thinking of that. Also, I think recognizing words that people love to use. So years ago, I went out for a run and I had a brand new headset that I had just gotten. And there was some, I was done. I was walking. There was a gentleman who walked past me, turned around. He's like, I have been seeing those headsets everywhere. Do you love it? And I was like, I do love it. We had a quick conversation around if they work well and all the things. And then he said, well, thanks so much for that. I will definitely be getting them. Have a great day. Cheers. And he walked away. I was like, yeah, you too. Cheers. And as I said it, I was like, I do not say cheers. That is not in my vocabulary. So classic mirroring in verbiage there, right? We had a great synergy. It was a connection, a fun, like, oh, this is this new thing and we all have to get it. But there was that mirroring there. So that was a really interesting cue to me of, yeah, we can hold space for people with that. 2 years ago, I was at a conference and I had not ever met this phenomenal woman that we had worked with for three years and we had never met in person. Finally got to meet her and, you know, huge hugs and, so great. And the first thing she said was, it is so phenomenal to finally meet you in the wild. Again, I didn't say that ever before. And it triggered me to be like, that is phenomenal. You are younger than me. And I love all the young, trendy things. So I took that and was like, can I make that into mine? Right? Can I build that in? Those are also things that we need to be aware of. What is trending? What are people using? What's common right now? What's fun? Can that authentically fit with you? Play around with that, right? Those are things that connect and sell as well.
Phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
I can't let that one slide. I do have to go back because I'm sure my listeners would kill me or riot if I didn't. So because, imagine, explaining in general, are there a couple more quick examples of words that sell?
So traditional ones like concern, problem, those sell. So keep those. Those are ones that are easiest, but keep those in center and then adapt these other ones, right? So the problem you're having is XYZ. We could come in and possibly look at this solution because, build it out a little bit more. Yeah, but keep those. Those are your easiest ones. You learn those in your questions and your comments and how you communicate. Those definitely do sell too. Raise the bar a little bit though.
Awesome. Right there, raise the bar. There's always a tweak. There's always something we can do a little bit better, a little bit different. I was going to say phenomenal again, but I don't want to. You've been fantastic. I appreciate everything that you shared. I probably still have 8 or 9 follow-up questions that I didn't even get to. I really appreciate everything. There have to be people listening right now saying, that was awesome. I want to learn more. I want to connect with Amy. So please tell us, what are you working on? Where do we find you? How do we connect with you to learn more? Give us all of it.
Yeah, please find me on LinkedIn. I would love to connect with you. Also, you can check out the website, salesandpresence.com. There is a button there to connect with me. You can do that, or you can follow the newsletter. Happy to have you on that as well. And then follow the journey. We got some big things coming in 25. So watch out for those and do the newsletter, because that will keep you in touch as well.
Awesome. I'll make sure we have the links to all of that, your book as well. Make sure we have all that in the show notes for people to find. And I'm assuming if you've got big things coming in 25, that means you've got all the important moments mapped up as well to get you there. And have fun checking those off the list.
Yes.
Big reveal. It's been a pleasure meeting you. It's been a pleasure getting to know you a little bit. Thank you so much for taking the time today. I'm truly grateful for all that you shared. I don't know if you saw, but I've been taking notes the whole time while you've been talking, and I really do appreciate it. Thank you so much. I look forward to keeping in touch and keeping the conversation going.
Thank you so much.
Amy, thank you for a fantastic conversation. I truly appreciate how much you were able to get into one quick conversation. You shared so many great insights and so many great ideas. I was taking notes the whole time. Thank you. You said a lot of great things. And there was one spectacular thing you said that caught my attention immediately. We've been taught how to be quiet, but most of us have never been taught how to listen. Two completely different things. I love how you called that out. Thank you. Also love how you talked about stop thinking in I. It's not about us. It's about the people we speak with. The concept of state what you already know, don't ask about it. So important for so many reasons. And I think for all of us as human beings, just the thought of give yourself grace. We're all learning. None of us are perfect. We all make mistakes. It's a never-ending process. Give ourselves grace. So many great ideas. Thank you so much for sharing them. I really do appreciate your time today. And thank you to everybody that took the time to join us today. Again, we appreciate you being here week after week to listen to all these people share all of these great ideas to hopefully help us get more out of our conversations, our relationships, our business initiatives, and so much more. Thank you. So before we go, let's thank our sponsors one more time. Humantel, if you haven't already, please head over to humantel.com and enter the code INQUASIVE25 to get 25% off the best-in-class online training of your choice. If you've ever thought about developing the skill set necessary to understand when people's emotions are changing in real time by evaluating changes in their facial expressions and their nonverbal communication, Humantel is the place to go. I've done the training myself. I highly recommend it. It's backed by science. Check it out. Humantel.com. Professional interviewers, go to certifiedinterviewer.com. That's where you can get all your questions answered about the International Association of Interviewers, requirements for membership, opportunities to contribute, education, online and in-person networking opportunities, interviewer resources, so much more. That's also where you can learn about the Certified Forensic Interviewer designation, what's entailed in earning the designation, who qualifies, what can it mean for your career after you pass the test, so much more over at certifiedinterviewer.com. And while you're online, please head over to inquasive.com. That's where you can learn more about the programs our clients ask us to customize for their leadership teams, their sales teams, their HR teams, and beyond to teach them how to apply the strategic observation and persuasive communication skills necessary to unlock hidden value in all of their high impact conversations. That's over at inquasive.com. Thank you so much for being here week after week. We truly appreciate it. Before you go, please like the show, share the show, leave us your feedback, subscribe so you get the first heads up when the next episode drops. We really appreciate you being here week after week. Thank you so much. Stay safe, take care of each other, and we'll see you next time.